Have your Bibles turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I truly believe God's looking for a church that will work for him in the last day. The harvest is plenty. The laborers are few, and God's looking for people to get excited and become laborers. Get filled with the Spirit so they can work in the field. Amen. Help to win the lost. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said. For the former treatise, our writings, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Amen. What he's basically saying is the book of Acts is a continuation of the book of Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts. He said, this just continues from our former writing. And the former writing was about the things Jesus Christ did. Now what we're going to do as the church, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is multiply the work of Jesus Christ in this world. That's why Jesus said, greater things ye should do because I go to the Father. Not because we'd be greater, but because there would be a greater number doing the work under the anointing that he and the disciples had enjoyed while he was on this earth. Until the day in which you're taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, church, you know there are a lot of people that call themselves an apostle. I ran a guy the other day and he introduced himself as Apostle so-and-so. I said, man, you old. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, be an apostle the way I understand it, the way scripture was, God chose you himself. And I said, since he's been gone 2,000 years, you must be pretty old. Because the only one I know he chose after that time was Paul on the road to Damascus, and he purposely appeared to him and called him to be an apostle. Hello? Y'all want to argue semantics? Go ahead. But when a fella gets so full of himself, he wants to call himself something that ain't biblical. That's why I don't use titles. The only thing about me that is any good is that Christ got a hold of me, turned me upside down, filled me with the Holy Ghost, and turned me loose. And I thank God that God is with me, walking with me, by me. And I can tell you of a surety, nobody made me who I am. I'm not a self-made man. I'm not a man-made man. I am a God put together, Holy Ghost filled preacher of the gospel who is here because of him, through him, and by him. And without him, I'm nothing. Amen. And I understand that. When you do, then you understand you got to have him or you can't make it. Glory. I've lost some of you already because you got somebody you know is an apostle. To whom also he showed himself alive after this passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Do you realize that after the resurrection, Christ appeared to the disciples 14 times? Well, what's the significance of that? Well, we have a record. He appeared to them 14 times. Two being the number of witness, seven the number of perfection. He left a perfect witness that he's alive. Glory. Come on, church. He did appear one other time on the Isle of Patmos to the guy at Revelation. That's 15. That's the number of grace. Hello? So now we know we have perfected appearance that he's alive and the grace to know he can keep us. Amen. Glory. Amen. I got that out of a chain reference Bible. Smile. Some of y'all had to have a bad day. You're sitting there. Any of y'all ever owned a Thompson chain reference Bible? Man, you can get in that thing, get swinging on them chains, find out all kind of stuff. Glory. Amen. That was my second Bible, was a Thompson chain reference Bible. My preaching totally changed. I didn't know for sure what I was preaching, but I was swinging all over the place in it. Glory. Amen. And I'm being honest. I really need to repent over some of the stuff I preached in my early ministry because there wasn't half of it biblical, but I thought it was. It sounded good and people shouted, glory. Come on, church. I was from Mule. I didn't know what a sepulcher was. I thought it was sepulcher. And I pronounced it that way for years before somebody caught me and said, that's not how you say it. You don't even want to know what I talked about that leader that come attacked Israel by the name of Sennacherib. You don't even want to know what his name was for years. Glory. Glory. And then God began to bless me, and I learned how to let Alexander Scorby read for me. I started learning how to execute those words and make them proper in English. And I learned how to preach on Marichelle Hezbaz and Sarah Jessup. Glory. Hello? They're in the Bible. Look them up. Amen. Smile. And he assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, is it not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall then be witnesses of me into both Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would touch us with your anointing, move on us with your power, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, and say, man, I believe God's going to move tonight. Glory. Amen. I am a firm believer in that last verse of scripture. I like to put it in a modern version. And ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me into Alabaster, Alabama, America, and to the uttermost part of the world. Glory. Amen. And we got people send money to witness to folks in China. We'll send money to Haiti and Paraguay and everywhere else. And our neighbors are going to die and go to hell because you never say nothing to them. I had a guy tell me one day, he said, I can't love everybody. I said, I agree with that. You can't love somebody you don't come in contact, but you can love everybody you come in contact with, and they can love everybody. And if that cycle keeps going, everybody in this world will be loved at some time or another. And I know some of you, I can't love everybody I come in contact with. Why? I remember one day I had a guy on the road that I had fallen in love with, and he voted me number one twice. Some of y'all figured that out after a while. And I still fell in love with him, prayed for him. God would help him, especially if I'd have caught him. Then I ask God to forgive me. Come on, church. I'm just like every one of y'all got pulled out in front of me one time, and I didn't even think about the facts. Alex was in the car with me, and, man, I hit on that steering wheel and talked about what all I wanted to do to him. And finally, Alex said, let's catch him, Dad. You can pray for him. But we have to work on our witness. And you never know what God would use to help you reach somebody. Come on, church. I had a neighbor moved in, had a big old bull. I ain't talking about a little bull. I'm talking about 3,800 pound Brahma. I come in one night and I heard something, and I walked around on the side of the house, and all I saw was two red eyes. Now, if you can see both eyes on that Brahma, that means he's straining. His head's down. He's looking because he ain't got his head turned. I'm seeing both eyes. I turned around running, and he came running. I got on the porch. If it hadn't been for that cement post that was there, he would have got on that porch with me. But his shoulders were so wide, he couldn't get on the porch. If he'd have run around front, I'd have been messed up. And I'm working on that key, trying to get that door open. And I got the door open, and by the time I got the door open, he figured out how to get around that post. You come around in the front, and he was up on the porch. Thank God I was in the house. I don't know if you understand it, but I didn't have a big porch on that house, and that bull took up most of it. I got in the house, and I called that dude's number. I said, your bull is in my yard. He said, I'll get him in the morning. I said, by daylight, he'll be in my freezer. See, some of y'all look at me like, preacher. Hey, I was witnessing to it. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. He didn't come get his bull that night. I'd gonna kill it. I'll be honest with you, church. That is probably the worst I ever felt in my life when I hung that phone up. He came and he got the bull, and I walked out there, and he had his stuff in the dark with a flashlight working on that fence. And I go out there and say, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to help you. He said, I done had all the help you I need. I said, no, I'm going to help you. I said, I shouldn't have talked to you that way, and I apologize. I helped him put the fence up to almost daylight. A few years later, living in Cottondale, he moved from beside me, dying with cancer. He sent word he wanted me to come by the hospital to see him, and he asked me to pray for him. And I was able to lead that man to the Lord. Now, it wasn't because I told him I was going to kill his bull. It's what I did after that when I apologized, helped to put up the fence, and then spent time with him letting him know that I wasn't that guy that called him on the phone that was upset about getting run over by a bull. And church, we've got to understand there are a lot of people in this world just waiting on somebody to show them the love of God and the peace that passes all understanding. And that's what we're here for. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but I don't care what Joel Osteen and all them prosperity preachers tell you. I'm not here to be blessed. You ain't either, so don't wait there and say, no, wait a minute, I am. You may not be. No, you're not. If you were here to be blessed, that's stupid. You couldn't get nothing in this world compared to what's going to be over there. If all God was worried about was prospering us, he'd take us on out the day we got saved. I'm never going to have anything. Church, there is not one place I can drive to find a street paved with gold. You know, the millionaire wanted to take his money with him. God finally relented and said, go ahead. He carried three suitcases full, got to the pearly gates. St. Peter said, what'd you bring with you? He says, I just wanted to bring something with me. He said, why? He said, well, I just had to. Opened it up, and it was gold bars. He said, you brought pavement? The reality is, we live in a world where we think we're here to be blessed. That's not what I'm here for. You talk to people, what are you here for? I'm here to be blessed. No, if that was it, God would have killed you the minute you got saved, took you on to glory, because there's nothing down here to compare what's over there. I mean, even when we think about it, the Bible said we still ain't thought about half of it. Glory. Come on, church. But the reality is, I'm here to be a light to a lost and dying world. I'm here to show the world what Jesus Christ looks like. I'm here through the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to stand on my job and let people see what Jesus looked like when he was doing that job. If you're a secretary, let them see what Jesus looked like when he was typing on a typewriter. If you're a carpenter, let the men see what God looked like while he's driving nails. If you're bringing brick, let them see what God would look like when he's laying brick. Whatever you do, let it be the life of Jesus Christ in you that shines out to those that are around you. And it's done through the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's about being clothed in the anointing of his Spirit so we can move a world for Jesus Christ. We have come to the place where we no longer put emphasis on the anointing in the church. There are some places where they want you to tone it down. I remember Brother Thomas Byrd came to camp meet one year and he was preaching about the place he's at in Virginia. God had blessed him. He went there running 35. He said, I kept trying to figure out how I made the overseer mad. He got appointed to this church in Virginia running 35 people. He said, I decided I had to fast and pray because God had to get me out of there. And he said, I go on a fast. He said, I'm fasting and praying. And on the 26th day of that fast, he said, I had a vision. I was laying on the couch in the living room praying. And said, I saw Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy. Said, I drove down the road to Mama's house, got me some biscuits and gravy, and cut that fast off. He said, I went back to the church, got a sledgehammer, started knocking blocks out the front of the church. He said, one of the men came over and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm knocking blocks out. We're going to build on. He said he went and got his sledgehammer and said, we're about halfway through that wall. He looked up and said, where did he get the money? He said, we ain't got it yet. We strung plastic across the front, fixed a little opening where people could get in and out. He said, we made it about 3 weeks, and some guy come along, felt sorry for us. He gave us some money so we could build a front back, and we added to the church. At the time he preached the camp meeting, they were running 700. And he said, we're still on the same lot we were on. We were running 25. Still didn't have a location. Still wasn't in a good place. We were 20 miles out of town. But people were driving to get to that church because God was moving. And he said, one day I was informed that the mayor of town was coming because they were wanting us to move the church into town so we could be a part of that town. He said the mayor came and several members of the council and different dignitaries showed up. And he said, I got up that morning thinking, oh, God, I hope ain't so-and-so don't go crazy this morning. He said, we got in the middle of the service, and sure enough, ain't so-and-so lost it. He said, and I'm thinking, there goes the dignitaries. And he said, I looked up, and there come the mayor down the middle aisle dancing in the spirit. And he said, I lost it myself then. Glory. Say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. When people come to a church of God, they expect us to act like church of God. What disappoints them when they come in and we ain't church of God? Listen, I don't go to a Baptist church expecting them to turn cartwheels and flips. I expect them to act like Baptists. I go to Methodist church, I expect them to act like Methodists. I don't know if y'all understand or not, but Methodists have a method. That's why they call Methodists. Everything they do is planned. They don't do anything by accident during their services. And if I go to a Methodist church and all of a sudden they lose and start running the aisle and shouting, I just about have a heart attack. When I go to Catholic church, I don't expect them to act different. I expect them to hear the man speak in Latin because that's what most of them preach in. That's a good place to go. You ain't got to worry about the sermon. You ain't going to understand it. You done good, preacher. What'd he say? I heard scripture, that's it. Don't laugh, that's exactly how it's done. I expected to walk down the aisle with a censer doing like this, sprinkling everybody with holy water. I expect to flip that little bench out behind the seat and kneel on it and pray. I mean, they got everything, the little padded benches you slip out and put your knees on. I expect to walk out the back door and pop the holy water and put a few penances in the penance tray and light a candle and leave. Because that's what Catholics do. I went to the Catholic church on Dolphin Island. The priest called me. He said, I need a revival. Can you come? I said, well, I don't know where to stay. He said, we'll take care of that. We'll put you up in a motel. I don't know if y'all understand that. The motels on Dolphin Island back in the 80s did not have air conditioning. They felt like it was cool enough. Just leave the window open. Of course, then you had to make sure nobody came in the window. They put me in the motel. They fed me. Said, just go eat. I said, where? They said, any restaurant on the island, sign the ticket, tell them it's coming to us. We'll take care of it. There was a man in the church had money, and he was taking care of it because he had been over to Brownsville with a priest, and they both got loaded. Glory. I'm talking about loaded to the point every night we picked the priest up and took him home. I never forget, he looked at me on the last night and said, can you go another night or two? I said, no, I can't. He said, come on, man. He said, because I can tell you for a surety, the Catholics don't want you here, the Baptists don't want you, and the Methodists don't want you. Just this little group sauce behind you. If they move me on this island, you toast. Glory. I said, well, I can't stay. I got to be somewhere else. He said, as soon as you get an opening, if I ain't gone, come back. He said, this is great. We might even get another two or three if we keep after it. Glory. I like to die. I couldn't believe it. I had a Catholic priest filled with the Holy Ghost, falling out in the spirit, speaking in tongues. And I'm like, wow. Come on, church. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. When God moves, boundaries are dropped. God doesn't care where you went to church. As long as you seek him, you get hungry enough, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have an acquaintance in Chattanooga, Tennessee, pastor a little church called Abba's House. He was running about 7,000, he's Southern Baptist. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, now to the church, the 3,000 left, and he now runs about 15 or 20,000. He's still Southern Baptist. They won't take his papers. He said, got nothing in doctrine says I'm preaching wrong. They just don't believe and preach it. But he's filled with the Holy Ghost and walking and acting in the Spirit, moving in the power of God. Amen. You know why? Because that was what God gave him. Amen. But he doesn't put Southern Baptist out front. He just calls it Abba House, a place of miracles. And people go there expecting to see a move of God. They go there expecting miracles. Listen, church, if somebody sees that sign out front and says, we're Church of God, that means they're Pentecostal. They believe in the laying on of hands. They believe in the operation of the gifts. They believe in divine healing by the power of God. Then by the grace of God, we ought to stay hot enough in the Spirit that when they come in here, something happens and they see the move of God and they realize we believe what God's word says we can have. One thing I learned as a salesman, you'll never sell anything you don't believe in. And the problem we have with selling God to this world is too many of us really don't believe that what this book says we can have, we can have. Come on, church, that's good preaching. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, it talked to, and I read it this morning, so I'm not going to go back through it to that point. But you have somebody tell me, say, well, wait a minute now. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Take them to Hebrews chapter 6. Listen to this. And have tasted the good word of God, chapter 6, verse 5. And the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. What did you say they did? Fall away. What does that mean? Backslid. To renew them again under repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receive the blessings of God. You know what it said? It said, if they've known God and they fall away. That's in the Bible, church. That's not a theology of a church. That says that you're not once saved, always saved, because there's a possibility people fell away. Now, what happens if they don't repent? But he which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto the cursing, whose end is to be burned in fire. I'll add that part because you can't burn that without fire. Huh? So if I know God and fall away from God, the end result is I'm going to be burned. If I don't come back. I'm not preaching doctrine, I'm preaching word. But these other guys preach doctrine and y'all sit there going, oh, hallelujah, because it's what you want to hear. Because I believe God can, through the anointing of the Spirit, help you live without sin dominating your life. The Bible said, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Now listen, if you have to sin every day, sin's reigning in your mortal body. But the Bible said you're not supposed to let that happen. That means you don't get up in the morning saying, well, I got to sin, so I might as well not worry about it. No, that means you get up every morning saying, God, would you help me? Keep me from the trespasses. Keep me from the things that would do wrong. God, help me to make decisions to walk in your presence and in your power and your glory. And if we touch God in the morning, get anointed of his Spirit and walk in that Spirit, the scripture said, if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. I'm not bound by this world. I'm not bound by the laws of this world, but I'm liberated through the power of God so that I can move in a realm that only God's people can move in. Glory. Somebody ought to say amen anyway. Glory. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm not sure. Listen, you can't even be a good witness for God unless you're filled and you're producing crop. Unless people see in you something going on. Do you not realize people that are always in joy and happy and moving in the Spirit of God are the ones folks gather around? You ever notice you walk through the mall, you can smile, say what you want to about people, and they'll wave back. You walk through, hey, ugly. Hey. How you doing? Long as you're smiling and happy and they don't hear exactly what you said, they're excited with it. But be true to who you are. walked through the mall, looked like he lost his best friend, mumbling himself, kicking stuff, they're going to understand. I don't want to get around that person. And when you're true to who you are, some of them going to get mad with you. I walked through the University Mall one day, and this dude was in there working. He hit his finger with a hammer, and he said, blank, 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 and he took my Lord's name in vain. Now, church, I just don't like that. I walked over by his ladder, and he's standing there. He ain't even looking at me. I said, Clara! He was doing good on the way up. But when he come down, he missed the ladder. He went all the way to the floor, and he's standing there looking at me. I said, hallelujah. I walked off. I didn't think nothing about it. Next thing I know, the security guard comes down and says, sir, they want you back up at the construction site. I'm walking up through there with a security man. I passed somebody near me and said, hey, what's going on? I said, I've just been arrested for a walk by shouting. I got up there and the boss was standing there and said, what was you doing? I said, well, he yelled, I took my Lord's name in vain. I thought I'd give him a little glory. He said, dude, what? I said, he cursed my Savior. So I just praised my Savior. And he just couldn't stand it. It excited him too much. He fell off the ladder. I said, I really didn't say it in the ladder what he said when he hit his finger. He said, now, preacher, they made fun of you. No, I actually held hands with them and prayed with them before I left the work site. They thought I was the weirdest dude they ever met. Lord. But the truth of the matter was, I made an impact on some of them, and that's what it was all about. Come on, church. Amen. But we've got to have that moving. Listen, what Jude said in Jude 1 and 20, or Jude 20, it's whether we want to look at it. There is not but one chapter of Jude. I was preaching at Buell one night, and I couldn't help it. I said, somebody read for me the second chapter of Jude. And this old boy jumped up and preached. I got it. He sat down at church. He said, I can't believe you did it to me. I said, I can't believe you fell for it. In the 20th verse of the book of Jude, but ye, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hello? We're told to let the Holy Ghost pray for us. Build ourselves up by praying with the Holy Ghost moving on us while we're praying. Church, you have never prayed till you got to praying and you were going to pray a little while and the Holy Ghost got on you and you realized you'd been there an hour or so and you didn't even realize it because you just lost in the spirit. Amen. You ain't never prayed till you do what I did that night when I got lost in the spirit, jumped in the car and drove home with an empty tank of gas. I mean, that's just awesome. Glory. Well, you figured out. Car's on empty. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I drive from outside of Op, Alabama to Tuscaloosa with a car on empty and it don't quit. I pull into the service station and it went dead as I got to the pumps. I got out and pushed it up there and got that $10 bill that guy gave me and said, fill it up. That almost do it back in them days. I said, but stop at 10 bucks. It did. It put about, at that time, it was almost full. I was like, yes, hallelujah. I'm back in business. Glory. Come on, church. We're told to pray in the Spirit. We need to understand that we have to pray God's will. 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to himself but unto God, for no man understand him. Howbeit the Spirit speaketh mysteries. Hello? So I said, well, now, preacher, I'm not into that tongue stuff. Well, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, that'll take care of itself. And it's not always going to be a language that's totally unknown to some people. I've had people learn to be standing there and praying, the Holy Ghost hit them and they speak, and somebody walk up to them and tell them they just told them something about God in their own language. Any of y'all remember Jonathan Augustine that came and preached for us last year? Sunday morning, I asked him to stay over on Sunday night. Overseer of Bulgaria from Nebraska. Don't know if y'all have ever been to the Midwest. They have their own language. They ride horses. You don't even want one of them to talk about 40 either. I'm at church one morning. The guy talked about how long Noah was in the ark. They eat that wheat and barley, and they used the A instead of an O. I left the sanctuary laughing. I Some of y'all getting it. That's the way they talk. They think that's normal. It ain't normal for me. They got their own way of saying things. This boy from Nebraska gets called by God to go to Bulgaria, and he can't speak a lick of Bulgarian. And he gets to the airport trying to find the guy that's going to be his interpreter. And as he's walking through the airport, somebody said something to him. He answered him, and suddenly he realized he was speaking Bulgarian, and he fluently speaks Bulgarian to this day. Never had a lesson, but the anointing of the Spirit of God put in him the language that he uses to minister for God in a mission field. And he's now overseer of Bulgaria, Serbia. And if you don't understand that, Serbian, the language in Serbia is just a little different from Bulgaria, but he's able to make the inflection to change languages without any problem, to be the overseer of both countries. You say, preacher, is it that great? Yes, you could take one of their words, misannounce it just a little bit, and say something totally different. Amen. Yet he's able to do so as their overseer without any problem because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost in his life. And we need to understand that kind of stuff can happen here. God can use you here. Amen. The unknown tongue is to that person, and sometimes it might be very fallible. In Sacramento, California, I had a young man receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he's standing there praying. He starts speaking in tongues. He said, praise God, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. And then the Romanian pastor lost it. And I'm standing there watching him thinking, well, he's just praising God. And about that time, Brother Floyd and grabbed me. He said, he no speak English, Brother Ken. He just got to America day before yesterday. No speaking no English. And he's speaking in English plain right now because the Holy Ghost has got a hold of him. And they lost it again. I went with them that time. Glory. We need to understand how the Spirit of God works. We need to get hungry for God. And I'm not going to be much longer because I know I'm pushing it. Some of y'all ain't hungry enough. I've been so hungry, I'd stay out there and watch people eat just to get to the table. Y'all been to places where you want to go somewhere and it's 30-minute wait and you're out there waiting, trying to figure out a way to get somebody to get up quick? Oh. The Spirit of God didn't start yesterday. It didn't start the day of Pentecost. My Bible tells me that in creation, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters of the deep. And God, he was there in creation. You go back in the Old Testament, you read where people at times were moved on by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible talks about a guy named Bezalel. He was anointed of the Spirit of God in understanding and wisdom and all manner of workmanship. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to have that kind of anointing. You read the Old Testament, you see where Moses is praying. And he's saying, God, I need help. I can't handle all this by myself. God said, pick you out 70 elders. Bring them under the tabernacle. I will anoint them as I have you to help you run the camp of the people. You know what he said? He said, you need a staff. Amen. You got 3 million people, you need 70 folks. We're going to get 70 in here. We're going to fill them with the Spirit. We're going to set them out over those people. Amen. And you know, two of those dudes were Church of God guys. Because it's late. I mean, they in there having a meeting. Holy Ghost getting ready to fall. Eldad and Medad still ain't got to the meeting. And the Holy Ghost fell on them in the camp, just like it did those men in the meeting. And when the Holy Ghost hit them, they went to shouting, and people went running to Moses and said, Eldad and Medad, they're shouting in the camp just like they are under the tent. And Moses said, suffer them not for my sake. I would to God everybody in this camp could feel what's going on under this tabernacle. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? There was a longing in the Old Testament to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible said the Spirit of God moved on Samson. He took the gates off the city. The Spirit of God moved on Samson. He took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 well-trained armed soldiers with the jawbone of a dead donkey. Amen. Next thing you know, God hits him with the Holy Spirit, and he's whipping people everywhere. And when he prayed at the end of his life, he didn't say, God, make my hair grow. God, do this. He said, God, one more time, let me feel your Spirit, because there was a longing for the anointing of the presence of God. Then David, the Spirit of God would hit him, and he'd dance before the Lord. He was carrying the Ark of the Covenant back in. When he got to the city, he threw off his garments as a king and danced down the middle of the street. And his wife looked out the building with disdain because he was embarrassing her. Hello? I don't know that I hadn't embarrassed some of my kin folks in the past, but I really don't care. I don't care if I embarrass some of y'all if I lose it. Ain't none of y'all been where I've been. You don't know what God brought me out of. You don't know what makes me shout the way I do. But if I lose it, I'm going to let God know how much I appreciate him. If you don't like it, just get embarrassed. But I'm going to worship him. Come on, church. Because I hunger for him. Every day of my life, I want more of him. Every day of my life, I want to know him more than I did the day before. And that is what the hunger we need. Because you see, Jesus then turns around and said, go tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you shall be endued with power from on high. Ever since then, the Holy Spirit of God's been waiting on us. We're not waiting on him anymore. He's waiting on us to move. He's waiting on us to get to that place we hunger for him. And if we hunger enough, we shall be filled. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It is time we wake up and realize Pentecost is real. Pentecost is an outpouring. It is still real for the church today. I can show you where it started, but I cannot show you an end. But I can promise you this, that every child of God who believes in the power and the grace of Almighty God is a candidate to be filled with the power, the grace, the glory. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me all over the house. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon all of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. New York City, Sunday morning service. I got there and we was in a two-room apartment with a wall knocked out between the two rooms. That was sanctuary. Across the hall, another one was fixed the same way. That was children's church. There are people sitting in every chair in every corner of that building, folks sitting around on the stage. I couldn't even hardly move because people sitting on the stage. Brother Emmanuel Dennis is the pastor. I've not gone to the pulpit yet because they're having testimony service and it's just 12. I usually didn't, when I was preaching Haitian and Jamaican churches, I didn't touch the pulpit at 12:31 because they'd have church and they'd pray, worship and praise God, and they'd give testimonies, worship and praise God. And that particular morning, this little old lady stood up, started testifying. They lost it. I lost my interpreter for a few minutes because he was worshiping. I couldn't get his attention. Finally, I got his attention. I said, dude, what's going on? Because I don't know if y'all understand it, but I don't speak French Creole. And they're all having a fit over what this lady's saying. I want to have a fit. You know, it's like being somewhere and everybody laughing and you missed the joke. And I'm like, I want to laugh too. He turned around and he said, I don't have to listen anymore. I was here when it happened. He said, we took up money to send her to Los Angeles to have surgery. It's the only place they could do the surgery. And they told her she had to pay her part up front in case she didn't make it. I don't know about y'all, but that's not something that's going to make me feel good if the doc wants his money up front. I'm like, if it's a possibility they ain't going to make it, let's roll the dice. You get me through, I'll pay you. If you don't, you're on your own. Glory. 20-something thousand dollars she had to pay for the surgery up front. Plus an airplane ticket and a place to stay while she was recuperating in California. So it was 20-something thousand dollars. I think it was $25,000 check they gave her. They took it up, gave it to her that morning. So she walked to the front of the church. She said, Pastor, in America, this will save one old lady who's seen 14 children know Jesus Christ and serve him. She's in Haiti, it'll build two churches and win a lot of souls. She signed the back of that check. Said, put it in the missions if you will. I'll take my chances. If God can't heal me, I don't need to live anyway. She fell out. People in the church, they were all carried away and they were like most of us. They grabbed her, took her to the hospital. They got to the hospital, and the doctor's running tests, and he come out, and he said, "What'd you say was wrong with her?" And they told him. He goes back in, he comes back out. He's from India, so he ain't speaking plain English, but it is English. And he said, "We can't find anything. She's been healed." He said, "We looked at the records and said she's supposed to be messed up big time." And said, "There's nothing wrong with her. She's perfectly healthy." And by the time she gets to that place in her testimony again, I got people, they're standing in the chairs shouting. Because they ain't got nowhere to run, so they're in the chairs. See, can you imagine 100, 200 folding chairs sound like with people running in them? And I'm sitting there going, "Whoa." And all of a sudden I look in the back, and here's this guy up over the top of all of them, and he is about as noticeable in that place as I am. Because he ain't a Haitian. He's dark skinned, but he got slick hair. And he's standing up over all the rest of them. I'm like, "Dude, that guy's got to be 8 foot tall. Because they're standing in the chairs." And I hit the guy. I said, "Who's the dude in the back?" And about that time, a bunch of them sat down. And I noticed this guy is standing on the back of a folding chair dancing. He said, "That's your doctor. He's from India. He came to church, got filled with the Holy Ghost. He acts like that all the time." Oh. Listen, church, I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to dance on the back of no folding chair. Glory. I never saw that chair move. He danced. He finally stepped down the chair, walked down and run around the middle, and somehow got through the aisle, come up and put his hand in mine, said, "Whoa," and took off back down the aisle. And I'm standing there going, "Wow." Needless to say, I didn't get to preach because they got to praying for one another and folks falling out and people coming down. We had, I think, 8 or 9 got saved that morning because the Holy Ghost hit the building because somebody had felt him and was hungry for him. That needs to become something that happens in Alabaster. I want to see people so convinced God's real that they head to this altar and give their heart to God. And they're not worried about what people think about them. They don't care what people want to say about them. They're just down here letting God bless them and just moving in his presence and his power and his glory. Church, when you get to heaven, I don't think you're going to stop on the third cloud and see who's over there. You're going to start shouting and head toward that throne. And you're going to get as close as you can, and you're going to dance and you're going to sing. And when that song's over, you're going to start another. And we're going to keep going and we're going to keep worshiping. 10,000 years down the road, we still going. Amen. Why? Because that's what's going to happen. And I don't know about y'all, but I want to practice up down here so I can get involved in what's going to happen over there. Amen. And I've got to do it because I get clothed in the Spirit, clothed in the power, clothed in the anointing of God. I need God to breathe on me the breath, the power, the glory of his Spirit so I can walk with him. Listen, he scooped up dirt. One of the young men asked me the other day how we evolved from monkeys, but we didn't. God created a man out of the dust of the earth, made him look like him, and God don't look like no monkey. He looks like us. And that old mud man was laying there not doing a thing, no life in him. And suddenly God leaned down over him and said, and the Holy Spirit run through his body. Because the Spirit of God is the breath of God. And suddenly life started popping. Muscles started building. Bones started forming. Mara started getting in the bones. The next thing you know, dude stood up and said, "Hey, glory to God!" And started naming animals and running the zoo. And then he got to noticing all the animals had wives, girlfriends. He said, "How come I ain't got one?" God said, "Well, I ain't made one yet." So he took a rib out of Adam, formed it up, put dirt around it, blowed on her, and woman come alive. Started telling man which animals to name what. It was the breath of life that put life in man. And then man sinned. According to Scripture, we died. Because we came separated from God with sin in our life. And then Jesus Christ came. Died on a cross to take away the sin. We're reborn. We're rejuvenated. We're now a new creature. No longer are we in the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit. But there's no life in the Spirit until you have the breath of God into your spirit. And that's when God, who you pray, leans over an altar and says, and feels you.
with the Spirit from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And once that happens, you begin to have joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. You begin to have a peace that passes all understanding. You begin to realize there is a God and there is liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, I'm free and I'm liberated. And whoever God's made free is free indeed. And then we begin to worship Him without any hesitation, without any holdback, because there's life in us again, because we have that breath of God in us. Right now, the Spirit of God's ready to breathe on somebody. You're here tonight. You say, Brother Ken, I need a fresh breath. I need some new life in my soul. Glory. You say, well, preacher, I've been saved so many years. I've been in the way 20 years. That's true. You've been in the way. It's time for you to get out of the way and let God take you where He wants you to go. Now you need to get on up here and say, God, I need you to breathe on me. I need a fresh breath. I need a fresh touch. I need a fresh anointing. I need you to move in me with the love and the power of your glory. God, to reinstitute in me compassion and love like never before. God, I need your breath. If that's your prayer, I want you to head to the front of this church right now and throw your hands up in the air and just start praising Him. Start magnifying Him, because when you get here, God's going to start breathing. God's going to start breathing in you the breath of His power, His anointing, His presence.